Greetings in Jesus' name. Thankful to have this privilege this morning to again share God's word with each one of you. I trust and pray that we're here this morning because we want to hear from the Lord. I was blessed with the things that were already shared this morning, and I just trust that we can hear some more from the Lord this morning. As I was pondering what to share this morning, the title that I had come up with is the question that I ask ourselves: have we identified God's vision for our lives? And I was pondering that and was encouraged in that, but I was feeling like, as I was studying, I was feeling like we can get around that. It's talking to people in general. And so the question that I'd like to ask us this morning is, have I identified God's vision for my life? And as I go, I'd like to look into Scripture and just point out a few different people in God's Word that we see that they clearly had, they knew their vision and their calling that God had for them. Some of them was very clear, and some they knew they had a special calling, but maybe didn't quite understand exactly what that was. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it tells us there in that verse that where there is no vision, the people perish. If they don't understand what they're supposed to be doing and are just aimlessly living their life, they will not succeed. They will fail in their life. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 25, we see what happens, and this is maybe extreme, but there in that chapter, they were worshiping the golden calf. And if we look into that account there, we see that they were running around wildly naked, and they were worshiping this idol that they had made. And we can be assured here that they else lost their vision, or they had no vision. And so we see no future in that. So with just some of these thoughts, I'd just like to pause and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you as your people. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together here. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done in our lives and for the work that you still want to do. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with each heart that is here. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be with those that are seeking, that are desiring your truth, that you would draw us to yourself, and Lord, that you would just show us the things that we need to see. I pray this morning that you would be with those that are not here with us this morning, that are at home, or those that are traveling. We just commit them to you, and I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would protect them, and inspire their day, Lord. We just want to commit this service to you, and we ask, Lord, for your hand of protection over our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first one that I would like to look at is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and if we go down to verse 23, we see here that David came on the scene, And we can see that David's life, that he is inspired by God in just the way that he was living his life up to this point. I don't believe that David came on this scene knowing exactly what was going to take place. But in verse 23 here in chapter 17, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, and out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Just stop there for a moment and just take in what is going on here. This promise, we see the gift that was offered to the people for whoever would be willing and able to take this man out. And David was informed of this as well. But we see, you know, what Saul did here. He offered this wealth and his daughter to the man that would be willing to take out Goliath. And they were all afraid. What was offered to them was not enough to be able to confront this man. So, what was different for David? We see that David in chapter 17 here, going down to verse 37, "David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." We see the focus that David had as he faced his enemy. The other people in the army, as they face Goliath, you know what motivated them, that what would have motivated them to fight him is the prize. But we see here that David, he was meeting Goliath with something that he was already used to doing. When he got into a tight spot, when he was facing his enemies in the field, at work, he turned to the Lord. And so this is what motivated David. He felt God's calling to do something about this. And we see him being motivated by what he was used to. And we see his him turning to the vision of what God wanted to do through him. So David's life here, it seems like, you know, just looking on, we see David coming on the scene and God taps him on the shoulder and says, "I have a job for you." And in a moment's notice, he was in a battle. But I believe that it was much more than that. David was already used to living his life that way, and so it was a life, it was something he was used to. If you turn to Genesis chapter 6, and I just want to look at the life of Noah and the vision that God gave him in Genesis chapter 6. When we look at a vision that God gives us, sometimes, you know, what do we think? We see a job to do, a time frame maybe. But we look at in Genesis 6 and we start reading. Maybe I'll start reading in chapter 6, going down to verse 12 and read the rest of this chapter. And we see what God had to say here. Maybe I'll just read verse 5 here just to get a little picture of what was going on. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Dropping down to verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. We drop down to chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark for thee. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So we look at chapter 6 and we see God speaking to Noah, giving him a vision of what's going to take place and giving him clear instructions of what he's to do. And then in chapter 7, we see him telling him to get into the ark. Pretty clear instructions. Sounds doable. But the piece that I'd like to notice here between chapter 6 and 7 is the time frame. How much time went by in from the time that he was given a vision of what was going to take place and when he was told to go into the ark. I don't know exactly what that time was, but let's assume that it was 75 years. 75 years. What takes place in 75 years? Let's take a look at our own lives and see, you know, the things that happen in 75 years. Pretty much a lifetime for us. We can have a vision of what God would have us to do, or a vision of how we're going to live our life, and we start doing that. And let's just look at Noah's life. You know, what happened in that time frame? Probably things that probably happened. There was probably children born in their family around them. There was marriage. There was jobs. There was lots of work that had to go on in building this ark. And likely, you know, a project that big, probably some work accidents that took place. People got hurt. People came against Noah for the project that he took on. All these things are probably things that Noah had to face. So when people came to Noah and made light of his project or questioned him in what he was doing as like, are you crazy? Why are you doing these things? What kept Noah's vision alive? God had showed him clearly the job that he wanted him to do. What was Noah's response? You know, people came along and they said, you know, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm nailing boards. You want to come and help me? Do you think that's the response that Noah had? I'm guessing he would stop and say, it's like, well, there's a flood coming. And all of those that are not in this boat, when it comes, are going to perish. And I'm preparing this ark to save my family and all the animals that come in. And I'm sure that he invited many people to join him, to prepare themselves to be ready for that day. And that, I'm sure, is how he encouraged himself and his family through those years. He never lost sight of the vision that God had given him. And if you ever have opportunity and walk through the encounter, the ark that is made to look like the real thing, it is quite something to take on, to look at and to see how that ark was built. The vision that God gave Noah, how long did Noah hang on to that vision? Till the end. Noah hung on to that vision until it was fulfilled. Do you think that Noah found himself discouraged at times as he faced obstacles, as the world pressed in on him and came against what he was told what God told him to do. I'm sure. But he encouraged himself, his family, with going back. What would God have me to do? This is what God showed me, and he stayed faithful to the end. In Genesis chapter 37, and the difference that I see here looking at Joseph's life and Noah's life. Noah, it seems like he had a clear instructions. He knew exactly what he was called to do. In Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 1 and reading through verse 11, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. In this account, a familiar account, but we see at 17, Joseph, I believe Joseph understood that God was preparing him for something. I don't think he clearly understood what was going to happen. We see Joseph talking to his family about the vision or the dream that God showed him. And they obviously didn't accept what God had showed him. We go down to in chapter 37 and we look at verse 27. We see here, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And then again in verse 36, and the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Back in the beginning of the chapter, Joseph shared a vision that he had, a dream. I believe he was sharing it because he felt God was showing him something that was going to take place. We see his brothers sold him off, and he was sold as a slave. So, in Genesis chapter 40, we find Joseph in prison. And in this account here, in this chapter, we see the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. And Joseph revealed the dream that he had and told him what was going to take place, and that his life was going to be restored to him, his former job that he had. And Joseph pleaded with him that when he was back serving, doing his job, that he would remember him and remind the people where he was at. In chapter 40, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. He forgot him. The piece that I would like for us to see about Joseph's life here is a lot happened from chapter 37 to verse 40. Did Joseph stay true to the vision that God had given him? What did he do as he was sitting in prison there, and this butler came to him with a dream that he had? You know, he spoke encouraging words to him and showed him truth and revealed to him what was going to take place. And he did the same to the chief baker, which wasn't good news. But we see Joseph staying focused and encouraging himself and encouraging others along the way. He didn't lose sight of the vision that God had given him. So we see the life of Joseph. We see the life of Noah, and we see David's life. You know, when we compare those three different men and we see the vision and the job that God gave them, the piece that I would like for us to notice in Joseph's life and in Noah's life is it seems like it pretty much took a lifetime to have that vision fulfilled, or a big piece of their life. And they didn't lose sight of that vision. So the question again this morning that I'd like to ask us, can we identify God's vision for our lives? Joseph, when God showed Joseph what he had for him, Joseph dared to declare it to his brothers and his dad. Said, "This is what God is showing me." Did they accept it? No. So this morning, can we identify God's vision for our lives? Do we dare to declare it? It takes commitment when we take that step. You know, when we hear God speaking to us and saying, well, I really want you to do this in your life. This is your life's calling. And we keep it to ourselves, and it's like, okay, I'm going to try this. But if we haven't taken the steps to declare it as a promise, as this is what God wants me to work on, you know, what's going to keep us from backing down? So some examples that we can look at as we think about what God's vision might be for our lives, and do we dare to declare it, that God wants me to grow in faith. Well, what does that mean? Can we identify some things that might help us in this area? Like prayer, Bible reading, trusting God. Some other examples as we think about identifying God's vision for my life as men, as married men, being a godly father. When we feel that call and responsibility, and we identify that, and we declare it. If we have children, we know that it is something that God wants from us. Well, what does that mean when I take that on? How is that going to affect my life? Being a loving mom. As a mom, you know, how will that affect your life? How will it change you? Are we willing to identify some areas in our lives that, okay, this is something that God is showing me? Being a godly young person. We've, as a young person, as a single person, and we feel that God's call for our life, how do you see that changing you? What are some things that God is showing you? Having a vision for our children. What does that mean? As we take on some of the things that God is showing us, are we willing to identify them and declare it? We looked at just a few examples of God's calling on our lives, depending on where we're at in life. And there's more. Are we staying true to the vision that God gave us? You know, God impresses us in different ways, in different times in our lives. And we look at the examples that I left with us here this morning, just a couple. You know, we like things to move on along quickly. And we don't see this happening in Joseph's life. We don't see it happening quickly in Noah's life. And they took on this task And Joseph especially, it seems like, you know, trial after trial, and it's like, he must have been shaking his head. It's like, has God forgotten about me? Why this? You know, he was tempted in ways that many of us haven't been tempted. And he stayed true, thrown into prison for something he didn't do. He didn't even deserve to be there. Yet he was taking on that punishment. And he came out of that test, showing being a godly man. How many of us, if we would have, we had a vision like Joseph did, and we start being tested like Joseph was, can we stay true to our vision? Coming out of prison, Joseph was still that faithful young man. As time goes by, do we find ourselves being true to the vision that God has shown us? So as we look at our own lives, where do we find ourselves standing this morning? Are we being true to the vision God gave us and being encouraged to continue on? Or do we need to have our vision renewed? Or are we in life where someone comes along and says, "What are you doing? I'm nailing boards together." Not a very big focus. I read this little saying recently, and it caught my attention. Just to leave a point, this man saw these construction workers. I'm not sure if it's a true story, but it leaves us with something to think about. These guys were laying bricks, and this bystander's like, wonder what they're building. He comes up to him and asks, like, "What are you building?" "I'm laying bricks." He went to the next laborer in the same response. Laying bricks. No vision. He went to the third laborer and he got all excited and he said, "We're building this great big building. And it's going to, in my own words, you know, it's going to be nice." And so, where do we stand in that? When people come and ask us, you know, do we, like, "Well, I'm just working along, you know, just getting by for another day." Or do we get excited and it's like, "I'm living for the Lord and this and that and the other thing's going to happen." And we're all excited about it. So, in closing here, as we look at the question, where do we stand? True to the vision that God gave us and being encouraged. Or maybe we realize the vision that God has given us and we sort of lost sight of it, and we need to just be encouraged in that and take that up and continue on in that. or if we're just dutifully nailing boards together and laying bricks and have no purpose in it, this morning, God wants to change that in you if you find yourself in that. Because as he met with David and Joseph and Noah and gave them a vision that was gave them purpose, I believe that's what God wants to do with each one of us here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, as this was Paul's testimony, so can it be ours. And obviously, to say these things, there was a vision. And we see a testimony here of being faithful to that vision and calling. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. May God bless each one of you.